Hey, everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays. This is Jack Merkel, and I am your host for this quick introduction here. I just wanted to introduce the episode for this week, which we are revisiting episode 56, Old School Ways, where Tony and Brian talked with Barry. Barry is a retired trucker and had been driving for over 60 years. He had tons of experiences and just some really good nostalgia-based stories. He had honestly been in so many different situations, service overseas. He had been driving for mushroom farms, since the 1950s. So just imagine the amount of experience and depth of knowledge that he had, and just the good old days sort of mentality. So if you guys are ready for that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going hot," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends, everybody. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Tony Merkel.
And we want to say hey.
Hey!
Thank you for joining us. And what we want to say is if you have a cool story from the road, if you're a driver, if you drive for Uber, if you do any kind of driving, any kind of road time, we want you to contact us with your crazy stories, whether they're crazy, whether they're insane, whether they're, you know, whatever you saw, yeah. If you've seen something, if you haven't seen something, if you haven't seen something like that, you shouldn't contact us, should you?
We want the outlaws. We want people coming on the show who actually break the law.
If you're
out there and you're still fudging your e-logs, contact us.
Yeah,
Let's talk about it.
If you can fudge your e-logs, talk to us, please.
Yeah, tell us your hacking ways.
And you can do that by contacting us through hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Now let's talk about emergency preparedness. What has 2020 taught anybody?
Be
prepared. What has the beginning of 2021 taught us?
Keep being prepared.
It doesn't get any better than this.
No.
You listen to the news and it's going to tell you the same thing.
If you feel like life sucks, you're not wrong. It does.
Amen to that, brother. So if you want to get yourself prepared, you can prepare with HLL.com. That's preparewithhll.com. We have all kinds of stuff for sale there. They have food that is good for 25 years. They've got water filtration. They've got air filtration. They've got anything you can think of that you would need for an emergency is there.
Absolutely.
Contact them.
Yeah.
And order something. Take a look. And if you think you could use something, which I'm sure you can, order something. Order some food for preparedness that will last you into 25 years. And if you're wrong and you don't need it between now and then, you still have food that you can use.
Yeah. Eat it at some point. You might as well eat it.
But if you need it and your significant other looks at you and says, "What did you order this stuff for?" The day comes when you need it and the power is out and you can't get to the store and you can't do anything and you've got food sitting around. You're like, This is why I ordered it.
I'll tell you, I was looking at the website and they have some new deals. And this new deal I think is pretty cool. You can get a 3-month supply of food. I literally have a 3-month supply of food sitting in my office right now emergency food. And you can get this emergency supply food, 3-month supply, and it's $200 knocked off for you at $697.
That's not a bad deal, dude. For
$700, you're getting 3 months of food.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
You can eat in a pinch.
man, like, I might just start shopping here for my groceries.
Yeah, you got that right. That is not a bad deal at all.
Not at all, man. So let's get into the voicemail line.
Yeah.
We got voicemails today.
We do?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, if you have a story that you'd like to share with us and you don't think you'd like to share it on the show or you don't want to talk to us, which we don't understand why, we're really nice guys, you can call the voicemail line.
I'm nice. Actually, that's a lie. You're nice. I tend not to be so nice when people irritate me. You do a good job hiding it.
You have to. I have to.
You have to.
But if you do have a story you'd like to share with us, you have 15 minutes on the voicemail line. Leave us a, you know, just call, leave us a message, talk to us. The number is 515-585-MERC. That's 515-585, and for those who are spelling impaired, that's 6375.
See, I told you you're not nice. You're just insulting people because they can't spell. Jeez, oh whiz.
Well, maybe not everybody knows how to spell Merck. They might spell it with a C. They might spell it with an U. I or a U.
Yeah.
So it's 515-585-MERK or 6375.
I wish we had like a number that had like 888 or something, so I could say like 888. I always wanted to do that. Call us at 515-888-MERC.
That would be cool.
Anyways, let's get to the voicemail.
Hey guys, calling out again from the Big R. This is Carl with another boring story. Hey Tony and the other guy, Pop, I think it is his dad or somebody. Anyway, just anybody listening want to know a little story here about how I got into trucking. I would say probably about 35 years ago, I got into the graphic arts, photography, illustration type of business. I worked for a few companies in between, from the Fortune 100 companies to mom and pop operations. Well, the last job that I had doing that was about 3 years ago. And without getting into a lot of detail, it was one of these mutual things that, well, you know, maybe, let's just say there wasn't a lot of teamwork there, to say the least. Anywho, I had been given quite a good severance pay at that point, where I thought maybe, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. So it was a Friday. That night I sat down and looked at all the want ads for photographers, graphic artists, designers, whatnot. Didn't see a whole lot offering in the Richmond area. It's kind of disappointing. I mean, everything that that was available basically was only, you know, 35, 37, 38,000. Which was hardly enough to basically live on and have family and make payments and, you know, the usual stuff that everybody does. So, yeah, I remembered a friend of mine, actually a friend of mine. He is a friend, good guy. My son-in-law's brother, he learned how to drive a truck a couple of years prior. So I kind of contacted him and found out what I needed to do. And did a little bit more research that night and came to the conclusion, well, this is not going to work. It's just way too much time away from home, and my wife is never going to go along with it. So I just kind of dropped that idea and started again looking for jobs that I really didn't feel appropriately compensated for. So Monday rolls around, and we're sitting there having our cup of coffee. And my wife is looking through some things on her phone, and she looks up at me. She says, why don't you learn how to drive a truck? Why don't you drive a truck? And I think I almost choked on my coffee at that point. I'm like, what? What did you say? She said, why don't you learn how to drive a truck? She said, you'd be good at it. I said, do you realize what that entails, what kind of sacrifice that is? She said, yeah, but you would only have to sacrifice for a couple of years, wouldn't you? Then you could pretty much find what you wanted for around here. And it kind of made sense. It's like, well, what am I going to be doing 2 years from now? I couldn't come up with an answer. So what I did is I took my severance money, went to driving school, got my learners, studied, passed all the tests, took the classes, passed the DMV course, which you don't really pass the first time, because they throw some things in there that you're not quite ready for as a new driver. So I got my license, finally. Went to a pretty large orange company out there, which some of you may or may not know what that might be, but worked for them for about a year and was in for a big surprise when I went out on the road. The thing that I love about trucking is that you get to spend a lot of time by yourself thinking, and you really do. But I think the most rewarding part about that entire year's experience, actually it was 2 years over the road with the second year with another red company that I'm still with. And I think Tony would recognize the name if I threw it out there. I don't really want to say, but we do a lot of shipping with them in the same docks and exchange trailers a lot. So I'll leave it at that. But one of the most rewarding things is being able to see a sunrise and a sunset in a different state every day of the week. That was the coolest thing. And as a photographer, I gotta appreciate stuff like that. Anyway, I hope there's a lot to talk about as far as new trucking goes. Like the first night you're out on the road by yourself, trying to find a place to stop and spend the night before 4:30 in the afternoon. Up north, it's pretty much impossible unless you're parked by 2:30 in the afternoon. Quickly found out that it doesn't work very well if you need to find a reputable and safe place to park at night. But one of the things that I realized that is if you don't have the motor running, somebody always inadvertently comes through the truck stop or the rest area at 2:30 in the morning with the Jake brake on. And you know what that sounds like. And you're like, what the heck? What do you got? I mean, come on now, really? Oh, well. Anyway, you guys, I will talk to you later. You guys have a great show. I really enjoy listening to you when I have a shuttle run to go down to North Carolina and back. Y'all take care. God bless.
That is really cool. It's nice to hear from fellow drivers out there on the road, see what they're going through.
Yeah, I like when he toots his horn, too.
I do, too. That's really cool.
Makes me feel at home.
Yep.
You know?
It does. That is really cool.
Yeah. I guess, you know, if you're a photographer and you're, you know, traveling around and you get to take those pictures and video or whatever, I mean, I guess that would be really cool. There's a shout out to this guy. He's on YouTube. His name's Trucker Brown, and he does fantastic video work. So, like, his channel, like, he's a trucker and all that stuff, but, like, he does... Like, he'll show you what he's seeing and stuff. And he does such a good job. And so, I mean, any drivers out there that have a particular skill in that way of doing video production or photos and stuff, you're in a prime position to really have a side hustle there.
Yeah.
A real side hustle.
That is the truth.
Start taking advantage of it for sure.
Oh, my word. Yeah. It's fantastic. And I agree with him. I love watching the sunrise. That's one thing I love about my job. Is I get to watch the sunrise every day. And it's cool. It's really cool. It's beautiful to watch, especially when you're coming across the mountains or if you're coming out of a tunnel and you catch the sunrise coming up over the valley. It's like, wow, that is just gorgeous.
Every time I have ever seen the sunrise driving truck, I was always going the opposite direction. So I see it come up in my mirrors and it's blinding me.
That is tough. But no, that was really cool. Thank you for calling. And again, if you have a story out there and you'd like to share it with us and you don't have a lot of time or you don't want to spend the time talking to us for an hour on, you know, over the phone, you know, give us a shout out on the voicemail line. And that is, again, 515-585-MERK or 6375.
Yeah.
Who are we talking to today, Tony?
We're talking to Barry, and he is the father of Ryan, who was on the show already. And Barry started driving back in the 1950s, and he ended in the, I think he said the early 80s, which means he probably stopped driving truck before I was born.
Yep.
So he has a whole other perspective as to what trucking is, because he did it before I even existed. And he said, I got out of it because these new truckers today. I was like, I was thinking like new truckers, man, like I thought new truckers like today and stuff. But he was saying back in the 80s, the new truckers then, those are the OGs that I wish it was like now. Because like, you know, so he has just a whole other perspective. So let's get to him right now.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, since we talked last time, I got a new deal. Well, I'm still at that Stouffer's hauling reefer.
Yeah.
If you remember me from episode 22, when we did the angry PA trucker hating driving thing.
Yeah, certainly do.
Yeah, I finally drove flatbed for my first time yesterday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they are a garden center company. They had a guy that left, so we're helping them out. And it was fun. It's definitely a different experience, but yeah, it was fun. Throwing the straps is an experience. If you've never done it, don't try it. It's not as easy as it looks.
Been down that road one time.
Yeah.
And I was, okay, you know, that's good for me.
Yep. Okay, here, let me get the old man to say hi and see how that sounds. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you, sir?
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Awesome. Your son never gave us your name.
I'm Barry.
All right, Barry.
I got a lot of names. My real one is Barry.
A lot of aliases, huh?
Yeah. I was a fugitive when we were on CB radios back in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's when guys actually talked on the radio. Now so many guys don't talk on the radio like they used to, you know?
Well, that was one of the reasons I gave up driving back in the early 80s was, the only thing was they got all these young truckers started coming on, and all they wanted to do is, where can I get something for my head, which meant drugs.
Right.
Or where can we find a pickle park? I think you know what that
means. I certainly do know what that means.
Yes. I said to the wife, I said, I can't do this no more. I said, you can't even be on the CB radio. I said, unless you know who you're talking to and you got a private channel to go to. I said, I can't do it no more. I said, I'm giving this up.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, it's become an industry. Used to be a lot of truck drivers. Now there's just a lot of steering wheel holders. And it's a shame.
We did a lot of crazy things, but we had a lot of respect for everybody on the road, you know, back in them days.
Yes.
All right, I think they got to start. You guys recording already?
Yeah, we're recording. We're just going to let it roll.
Yeah, we figured it would just be good to just keep rolling it, and it's good to get going.
Thanks for ruining the recording, Ryan.
That sounds like my son.
Spoken always, like a dad.
Always puts his mouth where it don't belong. You know what I mean?
That's one truck driver to another.
Amen, brother. I love him anyways. You know what I mean?
I heard that.
I always said the last thing I wanted was for any of my kids to drive tractor trailer. And it's that next thing I know, he's going off to school to learn to drive tractor trailer. I said to my wife, I said, oh, shit.
I know how you feel. I went through the same thing. I've been doing this for, you know, long enough, and I didn't want my kids doing this. And then what does Tony do? He starts driving truck. And then he gets a job with the same company I'm working at. It's like, come on.
Hey, it seemed to work really good for him, so I figured I'd keep going.
Yeah, I went through a couple things before I finally wound up with the last one I had. But I started driving trucks back in the I had my first truck accident when in 66. So I started probably back in 58, 59. I was hauling mushrooms back then for out of Temple, Pennsylvania, with all the mushroom companies there.
Yep.
I was hauling fresh mushrooms at that time. And that accident, I was coming down Fifth Street Highway towards Temple, going in towards Reading. And I was on Fifth Street Highway, and I was going to make a left to go into the Kutztown Road, which leads into Temple. Mm-hmm. I was picking up mushrooms because we didn't have enough mushrooms for my truck to go out.
So they asked me if I wanted to run around to the companies and pick up mushrooms and bring them back so we'd get me a load. And I was following this tractor trailer, and there's a slight turn there. And I got over to the center lane, and this kid was coming north on the 5th Street Highway or 222 going towards Allentown. And he came around that corner. He hit the rear wheels of that tractor trailer, and you think it would put him across the street instead of spun him around and spun him into the front end of my truck on my driver's side. And I just had a smaller box truck. And I went head over heels with that. I knocked the windshield out of my head, broke the steering wheel in my chest. My clutch and brake was spread apart. And I actually climbed out the windshield and had blankets in there. And me and the tractor trailer driver, we got him out. He had a brand new 66 Mercury. I think it was Cyclone at that time. Brand spanking new. I mean, we pushed the motor back between the two front seats, the bucket seats. And we put him on the side of the road, covered him up. And they took him away to the hospital. And I guess adrenaline got me going. And they took me back to the shop. I got in another truck and I worked the rest of the day. And the next morning, I went to get out of bed to go to work, and I couldn't. I had no feeling from my hips down. I couldn't move my legs, and I wound up with a spinal fusion then. That was in 66, 67.
Wow. And you got back in the truck then and drove after that. I mean, after you healed and everything else, you start driving again.
Yeah, I drove another 5 hours.
Wow. That is just
and
crazy.
And then drove home. Then drove home and I felt fine. They said it was probably adrenaline that kept me going. I was fine. Went to bed, I guess.
They don't make them like they used to, Dad.
No, they don't. Holy cow. Now anything
happens,
everybody's
looking
for a safe space.
Yes.
Yeah, I had two spinal fusions, both in truck accidents. So.
Wow.
What was the second one?
I was heading up towards Canada. Here's one for you. People don't even know what steel beam headlights are anymore, probably.
Nope, they don't.
But I was hauling freight at that time for a freight company. And I was going up, and I was coming up the I guess I was heading north, going up this big hill in New York. And it was like, I think it was 7 or 8 miles up and 8 or 9 miles down the other side. And it was misting. And my wife listened to the news and she said, "You shouldn't go off." She said, "It's supposed to be really bad weather." And I thought, "Nah, hell, I'm all right." I said, "I've been doing this a long time." And I went up the one side. It was just misty. And when I went down, started down the other side, I knew something didn't seem right. And I downshifted and I didn't hear my jake break. And I'm like, "Oh, crap." And when I didn't hear that, I looked. And by the time I looked, my trailer was already alongside of me. And I tore down like 300 feet of guardrail, and I was on the CB radio telling anybody was coming. I can't remember what the number of road that was. I telling them pull over, and because I said I'm gone, and the trailer unhooked from the tractor, and we both went down the hill, and they said they never found one good steel beam out of that whole trailer, and that's when I got my second spinal fusion.
Wow. That is crazy. Oh, my word.
Yeah, they wanted to put me in the hospital up there. I said, "Bullshit." I said, "You're taking my butt back to Reading, Pennsylvania." I said, "Where I live." I said, "I ain't going to the hospital where I don't know nobody and nobody can come see me." I said, "You get me an ambulance or you're taking my butt home." And that's what they did. So wow. Then I wound up in my second.
Wow, that is crazy. Oh, my word.
I'm from those schools. But you know what? Both times, the first time they told me I was done driving truck back in 66 or 67, I lost about a year there. Then the second time was in the late 70s. I think my son Ryan here was probably like 2 or 3 years old at that time, and he didn't know nothing. And they told me, "Now you're done driving tractor trailer." I said, "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what," to the doctor. I said, "If you pay," I said, "I got 3 kids at home." I said, "If you pay my bills and you pay my tractor payment," because it was my tractor, I said, I'll quit driving. "Well, we can't do that." I said, "Well, then I guess what?" I think it was like 4 months. I was back in my truck and I was going down the road driving.
Oh, my word.
Jeez.
They do not make them like that anymore. No. That is a literally is the difference between a truck driver and a steering wheel holder.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Wow.
And you want to know something? I'm going to be 80 years old in November, and I still work part-time, and I can still lift 80, 90 pounds with my bad back, my bad knees, and everything else I got going on. But I'm not a quitter. I don't quit.
No, you do not. That is for sure. That is one thing nobody can accuse you of. That is fantastic. Yeah. Man, Barry, that is awesome.
They call us the last of a dying breed.
Yes. That is the truth. Wow.
I did a lot of riding. I remember I used to haul for the freight. Sometimes everything was on the floor in them days. You didn't have palletage stuff back in the 70s. And we had end of trailer loads. You had to get it to the end of your trailer. From there, it was their responsibility. And we had rollers on our trailers. And we'd go to like these Pep Boys and stores like that had batteries coming. And I'd say to them guys, are you ready? And they'd say, yeah. And I'd start rolling these batteries down. And every time I'd hear one crackle on the driveway, I'd say, oops, that's yours.
I got it to the end of the trailer.
I says, end of the trailer, dude. That was yours. You bought it.
Yeah. Those are the days, man. That's when you really humped freight. Man, that is fantastic.
So I imagine go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I imagine you've seen the traffic really build up in this area then. Because, I mean, I live in the Pottstown area. And my dad lives up in the Hamburg Schumachersville area, so we're very familiar with your Reading story.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I know that whole area very well. I'm from Temple. You know where Temple is, right there?
Yeah, certainly. That's when you start talking about Kutztown Road and Temple and the mushroom farms. I'm like, I've smelled them. I know where they are.
Yeah. I used to work.
You go through there, you know what you see. You know what you're smelling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I used to work at the Bachman's Pretzel in Reading there. I think that's actually Temple. Oh, it's considered Temple.
Yeah, I had a brother that worked for them for a while. One of my younger brothers, he's gone. But yeah, he worked for Bachman's there. I used to go across the street there. You know where Hans and John's is across the street from there?
Yeah, yeah. I sure do.
Best chili dogs going.
Uh-huh. You got that right. That's free advertisement. That's what that's called.
Yes, now I live all the way down here in the bottom part of Delaware near the Maryland line. I'm like nine miles from Ocean City, Maryland, and I miss them hot dogs, something bad.
Oh, yeah. Can imagine.
Yeah, but I did a lot of things. I hauled batteries. I one time told my son, I said, you're not a truck driver until you drop a trailer. I said, that's what they told me. I said, and I learned the hard way. I was just picking up a trailer, and they had my tractor in for service, and they gave me this old beat up damn cab over International, and I backed up underneath it, and it was a slant. I had to back up a bank to get the trailer, and I always listen for the click, and then I usually look, make sure it's locked. I put my head under there and make sure it's locked. Well, I don't remember if I took my head there and looked or not, but I pulled out and I hit the brakes and I pulled out again and went. I got down to the Fifth Street Highway. Used to be Lee Hefner Ford's there, South Temple. It was on the Fifth Street Highway. I went to pull out onto the Fifth Street Highway, and that trailer it was full of batteries. That trailer hit the back of my tractor. The air brakes came off, the hoses came off, they went around, broke both the windshields, and there I was. I'm like, oh, crap. And I think it took them four forklifts to lift that trailer up so we could get another tractor under it.
Wow. So, yeah, that's not a light load.
I never got one.
Holy cow, a load of batteries is not a light load, that's for sure.
Oh, no, it was a heavy load.
Yes, sir, I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't go out that day. I said, nah, I already had enough. I wait for my truck. I know what the hell it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get that. Wow. You know that's a long time ago when they're using cab overs.
Yes.
Every now and then you see one running down the road, I'll see a cab over and I'm like, holy cow, look at that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. But when you're sitting in there and you say, I hope the hell not hits the front of this truck. You're sitting right there.
Yes, you are. You're right there. You're looking straight down.
Yeah, because the motor was between you and under the dog box and the other seat. That's where the motor was. So you'd had nothing to stop it. You were in trouble.
I always wanted to drive those when I was running North Philadelphia because I just imagined they were easier to drive in the city because
that's the only time.
Yeah.
That's the only time they were good. I was telling him just a while ago, I said, I rode for Lance Milling. Did you ever hear of him down there in Reading?
I sure did. I drove for Lance Milling. It was one of my first jobs. I know what that's like.
Welcome to the party. I didn't stay there too long. We used to have to go up to Harrisburg and down to Philly. And some of them side streets, you had to back down to where you had to unload. And they were the streets were so narrow, we had to pull in both the mirrors. And when you get them pulled in, then you'd stand there and try to adjust it so you could at least see a little bit of where the hell you were going when you were backing up. I said, that was unreal.
Oh, my word. But, yeah.
Then you unloaded it, you put it on two-wheel dolly and took it to that, what they call an elevator. Yeah. And you hope that didn't break down when you were going up to the second or third floor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I hated Lance Milling.
And that was literally all hand unload. When I was working for them, I ran over into Newark, New Jersey. I was running around North Jersey with a guy. And you're touching everything. You touch every piece of every bag, every piece of freight. Well, I mean, it's milled stuff. So it's, flour and sugar and all the baking stuff.
Yep.
And you're delivering these little mom and pop bakeries and you got to take the stuff downstairs and stack it all and stack it for them and do this and do that. Oh, yep. My word.
You had to do it all.
Yes, you did. That was a tough job.
And didn't get paid crap.
Yes.
And didn't get paid crap.
You got that right. That job didn't last long for me either. I was like, I'm not dedicated.
If I was there a month and a half, I was lucky.
I hear that. I know what you mean. I wasn't there long at all.
Wow.
Yeah. That was one of those jobs that's, you know what? Okay, I'm out.
When you guys were there, was there anybody that was there for a long time? Or was that one of those companies where everybody just kind of cycled in and out?
Well, I think most of the drivers were the short-timers.
Yeah, yeah.
They had some that were there for a while, but the only ones I can remember, they were there maybe not as long as I was, some of them.
Yeah, some of the guys, I did get the chance to talk to a couple of guys, and some of the guys were a little bit longer in the tooth there. They were there for a little while. But those are the guys who were doing all the palletized loads at that time. Like they just, deliver a pallet here or take, a load of stuff to this warehouse or, that type of stuff. And everybody else was left to do all the hand unload crap. So the guys who had any kind of time were doing all the easy, just pulling stuff off with pallets and all the pallet jacks and all. And I wasn't that dedicated to it. I was like, nah,
I could never last that damn long.
I'm with you.
But the last thing when I retired, I really had a good. I would pick up batteries in Reading. I'd run them to Greer, South Carolina, drop it. Pick up another trailer, run it to Salina, Kansas, drop it. Pick up another trailer. I didn't unload nothing. Go back to South Carolina to Greer, South Carolina, and then back to Reading. That was my trip for like about the last 16, 18 years of my career, I guess.
Wow.
So I enjoyed that. And I got paid every time I drop and hook. I'd get paid extra money for that.
Yeah. Were you running?
That was my profit money.
Sure. Were you running for Exide? Is that who you're running the batteries for?
Well, back then it was called General Battery.
Okay.
Out of Hyde Park there.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that for quite a few years. I mean, it was a nice run. But they paid you that, and they gave you $25 a day for food. But I had a cab. I mean, I had a sleeper cab, so I would only get a room like every couple days so I could take a shower and stuff, But other than that, I slept my cab, put the money in my pocket.
Yes, sir. I hear that.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah,
I wasn't all to get a problem.
That's news to me because the only battery place I knew of up that way was Deca.
Well, Exide used to be down there in this area as well.
Deca's up in Mines, Yeah. That goes up near Lyons, ain't it?
Yeah. Yep. Lyons Station. You got it. Yes. Well, they're all over the place now. They're in Lyons and Topton and Albertus
and Delaware County. They have a they have a small warehouse in Delaware County to deliver to. Yeah.
So they've really spread out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That trailer I dropped was it was an outside the warehouse there in Temple. And that's why I wound up getting a load out of there, I guess.
Yeah, gotcha.
But that's when that's when I was running a lot of extra stuff. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
You said about hitting stuff. When I was in the military, we had I was an ordnance company. You know what ordnance is?
No, I don't.
Ordnance is it's ammunition. Ordnance is ammunition, not it.
Okay.
We were over in a little town called Chazay, France. It was in southern France, probably 50, 60 miles south, southeast probably of Paris. I mean, we were in the wilderness because we had a compound of live ammunition. And every once in a while, we'd have to haul live ammunition through different parts of France to different places and on trailers. And back in them days, back in the late 50s, early 60s, them streets over there in some of them small towns, we'd be up on the pavement on the left side where the driver's side of the tractor was, and the rear wheels of your trailer were hitting the buildings on the other side. That's how small them roads were over there.
Wow.
Yeah, we were hauling.
Go ahead.
We were hauling some live stuff.
Oh my word. I mean, it's crazy. When you look at pictures of like the inner cities and the small towns in Europe, and you think to yourself, how do they get deliveries in there? Because I mean, you know, it's bad enough running Newark and crap like that. And you know, to actually be in some of these little European towns, you know, it's like, wow, that is just so to be driving with live ammunition and running through these little towns and up on sidewalks and oh my word. God bless you, dude. God bless you.
I won't say it was me, but I know a couple of people that did that. And the one was a sergeant, and he was pretty much in charge. It'd be like two or three of us different trailers. And we'd park behind the damn bar and go and have some beers. If they ever got caught, they'd still be in jail, probably.
Yeah, you got that right. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When you're thirsty, you're thirsty.
I had a lot of good times driving truck and had, you know, weird stuff. But what else did I haul? I hauled all kind of crap.
I
used to haul mushroom manure, by the way, out of Temple. Mushroom manure.
Oh, no
and
kidding.
I'd have guys behind me in the trailer. I'd have guys behind me in their cars with CB radios and say, you know, that stuff really stinks. I'd say, I can't smell a thing. I said, it's all coming back to you, dude.
You got that right.
I said, I'm staying. I said, the old people can stay right in front of that shit.
That's the beauty of being in front.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you, I was in Hatfield. Yeah, I was. I was in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, and I was driving behind a truck that was hauling pigs to the, I forget what meat packing plant it is, but, you know, I guess they kill the pigs there and all fresh meat. And yeah,
it's Hatfield.
Oh yeah, duh.
Hatfield meats. <Didn't> even...
Oh that man, I wish I had my soundboard on right now. I'd have a smart aleck sound drop for that.
My smart aleck just went out to the grill.
Yeah. I was driving behind this truck, and it was a rainy day, and these pigs, like you could see, like the poop, like. Coming out the back. No.
Yeah.
It was also a hot day and my AC wasn't working. So I had my windows down.
And
I didn't realize until like a few minutes later that I had these brown speckled marks all over my arm with my arm hanging out the window.
Yes.
And I tried tricking my brain to think that it was just mud.
It's just dirt.
I don't think it was.
I had to pull aside and leave it go. I had to pull up.
It was so gross because I could smell it. It smelled like crap. And yeah. I was just like, this is mud. You know it's not mud, Tony.
Can't fool yourself, dude.
one time a friend of mine, I had a week off, and a friend of mine was hauling cattle up around Lancaster. And he had two loads that he had to go out, but we had to round them up, get them in the corral, and then get them on the tractors, on the trailers. And I said, hell, I never hauled them, and I'm a little worried because, you know, that's movable objects. And, oh, man, they were pissing on you and all kinds of stuff trying to get them on there. What a time we had with that.
Wow.
That was one. I never did that after that.
Nah, I can imagine that. Yeah. I understand what you mean with, you know, they're live. I mean, so they're moving around. I mean, that's freight. That's, you know, a couple thousand, you know, if you're hauling cattle, you know, I mean, those things can be 1500 pounds per, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those things move around, and even some of the, you know, the pigs and stuff like that can get pretty large. So you're moving.
Yeah. We put like 20 on a truck.
Wow. That is just crazy.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I never thought about driving live
a cattle truck.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah. I'd imagine the weight shifts a lot.
Yep, they can move.
Yeah. So, only did it once, but we looked like fools. We were out there in the fields trying to get these idiots to get into the corral so we could get them where they needed to do so we could get them loaded. We were running around there with shock sticks and crap, and I'll tell you what a day that was. Oh. I'd never do that in my life.
That is one thing that I've never tried, and I'm with you. I don't know if I'd want to. That's
them boys earn the money.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Wow. That is just crazy. You know, speaking about things that really smell around here, well, up our way, you know, like with Hatfield Meats and all that, there's a company called Mopac, and they haul the, after they clean the meat, after they clean off the cows, you know, all the skin and the fat and all the stuff. They load that in a trailer, and they run that. And I don't know where some rendering plant. I don't know where it's at. And right on the road that the company that I work for is on, you know, there's a stoplight just as you come off the highway. And every now and then you'll see where one of those guys had to come to a stop quickly because there's a whole big splash of mud and stink.
Oh.
It's just blood and some pieces of flesh that just, it makes you, because it's like, right, I have to go down that way to get to work, you know, because I just got to go down and make a left into the company. And you pass that, you go right through that traffic light. And if you get stuck at that light, man, in the summertime, that can really stink. I've seen that happen a couple of times where these guys are coming down and got to slam them on. Yeah, me too. Me too.
I'd have to pull over and throw up. I'm sure of that.
it's not a pleasant smell. So you just want to get out of that red light. Just get me out of here. Turn green. I gotta go, man. This is horrible. it is stinky. Woo.
And stinks.
Oh my word. You know, yeah.
With the mushroom manure up there and down here where I live, it's all chickens. And when they spread the chicken manure, or up there with the mushroom manure, we used to call that good fresh country air.
Yeah, I smell that quite a bit anymore. You know, it's when you're around, you can't even explain it. You can't explain what it smells like. It is just one of those things when you drive through it, you're like, ooh, there, you know, that's fresh. That is fresh.
Yeah.
When I used to live up near Shoemakersville and stuff, and they would spread it. Like, I don't know if if it loses its stench, but I feel like after a while, I just got used to the smell. I didn't even notice after a while because other people would come over and like, oh, it stinks out here. I'm like, oh, I don't even notice it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it smells worse when they first take it out of the houses than it does when they put it in. When it's new, it don't smell as bad as it does as when they take it out.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and a lot of places will store that for a while before they start selling it to farmers and stuff, you know, to spread around in the fields. But I'll tell you what, you can't get anything better to grow product than.
Oh, I believe that.
That stuff works.
Yeah. It's crazy. It stinks, but it does grow stuff. It's amazing. Oh,
they tell me it don't work.
So you're when you first started driving truck, you started driving in the service. Is that when you started driving truck?
No, I started driving when I was like 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
And back in them days, you didn't have to go to school to drive a tractor trailer. It was called OJT, on-the-job training.
Right.
They gave you some instructions and you went and eventually you learned it. And with them mushroom trucks, I'll tell you what, some of the mushroom plants to get into. And when you back up to dump them, because, you know, it's a trailer, and you got to dump it, mushroom manure won't come out till the trailer's all the way up. And then it slides out, and you get off the brake, and it pushes your truck front. And you had to make sure you were level, because if you weren't level and you put that trail all the way up, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, you got that right.
We used to open the gate and take mushroom manure. If there wasn't a pile already there, we'd take mushroom manure and figure out how long of stretch we needed and how high we needed, so we get back that set of axles up onto the pile, so it would be level when you go up. And every time that trail goes up, you're in there sweating your butt off, hoping it's not going to tip over.
Yes, sir. Holy cow. That is.
Yeah, because not all the platforms are level. Not all the platforms are level. Some of them are on slants. And you got to make sure that truck was level before you put that bed up on that trailer.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Yeah, you're taking a tumble, that's for sure. Wow.
But I hold fresh mushrooms for a couple of years up into, I went to Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Binghamton, New York. And when you hold fresh mushrooms, that's another thing, is you had to take them. They'd have them in this room. They'd put them in bins with water. They'd weigh them. Then they'd weigh them, get them right on your trailer until you had a full trailer, and you had to get on the road and go, because they got paid by the weight. So, you know, by the time you got to Binghamton, the weight was less on them than it was when you left Temple.
Right.
Yeah. So you couldn't mess around. I mean, I made them runs, bam, 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 and we took them to markets and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
I did that for a couple of years.
That is amazing. Was that for the Giorgio plant?
No. It was Gasparri and Gasparri Brothers. I'm trying to remember who the other guy was, but I had the accident with his truck. I made second page newspaper for that one, the first one, where I was going around picking up the boxes of mushrooms. What the heck? I really liked that guy. He was really good to work for. He decided to make a cannery, and I actually helped them rebuild that cannery, and I was hauling fresh mushrooms out of there for him for a long time. Gun something. What the heck was his name? He's long gone by now. That was in Evansville, out near Maiden Creek.
Yep, yep. I know where that's at. I used to run for Venezia Trucks out of the Evansville cement plant.
Well, yeah, it was right near. Pretty close to the that place. Well, Redner's, I think Redner's Warehouse Markets has a big warehouse there at what is it, 222 and 73? Is that that runs through it?
That's it. You got it. They're right there.
Yeah, they have a big warehouse. See, I worked for them for a while.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're good people to work for.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear.
But I wasn't driving truck. I actually wound up being a manager for them.
Wow. So you've really done a lot. You've really done more than just truck driving. You know, you've done other stuff too.
Oh, yeah. Hell, on the side, I had a little construction business at one point, plus driving truck. I drove taxi cab when I wasn't out on, when I ran that last from Reading to Salina, Kansas. When I had my 3 or 4 days off, I had a friend that was a dispatcher for Yellow Cab in Reading, Jerry, and Jerry would get me out there and he would throw me all the good runs. And so I stayed busy.
Yes, you three did. Kids at home. Wow. That's awesome. That is, you don't hear that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, nowadays you can't. Like they won't let you drive anywhere else while you're driving for a company. I mean,
you have to log all that time.
Yeah.
See, back in them days, we didn't need a CDL license, so yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You also didn't have paperless logs. the old ELD
no, that's
system.
True.
Yeah.
Well, right. when I was running from Reading to Greer to Salina, I had three logs books I was trying to keep up with.
I hear that. And wow.
And if you came to a stop where you had to get checked by the DOT or whatever, you better make sure you pull out the damn right one.
That's the truth. Wow.
One time I had my wife help me do a log when I got home. I had her doing my log book with me. She had me doing 80 mile an hour through a 35 mile an hour section. I said, honey, that ain't going to work.
Well, you got that right. That's not going to fly.
No.
We got to make up our time somewhere else.
Yeah. You know, back in them days, it wasn't no AR zone, 4 hours off or whatever.
Right.
We rode when we got tired, then we pulled over for, if you're an hour, you were lucky, you get on the road again. But we got away with it back then, but I wouldn't even think about doing that today anymore.
No, nowadays, with everything being ELDs and all that, you can't play with it. It is what it is, and it records everything you do, you know, and that's the hard thing, you know. But that's a lot of driving. That is a lot of driving, you know.
Yeah. You know, something else. I used to run the New England States when I was hauling freight, and what was I going to say about that? And I hated the New England States. I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. Man, I had a lot of trouble up there. I hated that States.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
There was a story I had and I wanted to tell you, and it's just like, I'm touched by that old age shit.
you know, I get those days too. You know, it's like, it's the way it is. You know, you just accept it. My mind is like my hair. It's falling out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what my excuse is.
I walked around in my house here one day for a half an hour looking for my glasses. And they were on top of my head. They were on my face. They were up on my hair. But I finally found them. I thought, boy, am I glad there's nobody here seeing how stupid my ass
is. Amen to that, brother.
I ain't kidding. It was like a half an hour. I'm like, what the hell did I do with my glasses? Now I got glasses because I had lenses put in my eyes. And now I got reading glasses in every room in the house, one in my car, one in my pickup truck, one in my coat pocket. I got glasses everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, at least you don't have to worry about losing them.
Not anymore.
That's funny. Friggin' it.
I wanted to tell you something about them New England stations. Damn, if I can remember what it was.
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
It will.
So,
they were all floor loads up there too, and they were some nasty places. Oh, I was up in Brooklyn one time, or the Bronx, Brooklyn or the Bronx, and I made sure I had locks on all the doors of my trailer because I was told about that long before I started going up that way. And when I left this one warehouse, the guy said, "Make sure all your locks are on there, old man." I said, "All right," and I did. I went around the corner and came up to this red light. And there, this guy's trailer doors are flopping wide open, and there's two pickup trucks there, and there's guys inside his trailer throwing shit off his trailer, throwing it in the pickup trucks, and I guess he knew better than to get out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They were stealing his ass blind.
Yeah, that is crazy, and that is one of the things I've heard about that, you know, you make sure you have your doors are locked and make sure your trailer's locked, and you don't move. If something starts going down, the freight's not worth your life. You know, when they're done, they'll move on.
Well, at that time, I had a little 32 that I used to have on my dog box when I went in them places. If you hopped on the running board of my truck, first thing you seen was my pistol in your face.
I hear that.
Yes, sir.
I hear that.
Yeah, I'm just a little guy, but I'm a badass old motorcycle dude, too.
That's awesome. There you go.
Yeah. I have the lunchbox that I had. It used to have like two layers to it, and so it was a nice spot for a handgun underneath the bottom layer. So if
not that you ever took it with you,
right?
Yeah, I never took mine with me. Every time I looked around, it just happened to appear there.
Exactly.
I'm like, how'd that?
There you go. That's right.
Golly, this gun keys on jumping in my lunchbox.
My wife backed my lunch today.
I know I left that at home.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets a mind of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never worried about it unless I got one of them places and I get it out in the open so it was easy to grab. I mean, because I knew where I was at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I couldn't wait to get away from them New England states and stuff up that way. I didn't mind Rhode Island too much because it's one way in, one way out. I would get up in there once in a while, and it wasn't too hard to find your way around. It's kind of like Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is I would go in there. I would be going in there like at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I would be going in to miss all the traffic on the LI or whatever it is, the Long Island Expressway. And if I couldn't get done before like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I just got a room and I stayed overnight and left early in the morning.
Oh, I hear that.
Because you got all them bridges, and you got all them five-lane highways, traffic coming both ways, driving nuts.
Yeah. Oh, you got that right.
I can imagine.
Yeah, traffic in there is crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
Never drove it. I never drove it. Never will.
You don't want to.
Yeah, you avoid that if you have to, if you can.
At all costs.
Yeah, Long Island Expressway. That's some piece of work here. One guy was trying. It was one time I was coming on. He was already getting busy, and this big white Cadillac come up from behind me, and he was trying to pass me on the right hand side, and there was nowhere for him to get in. So I kept, as he kept over, I kept going over with my trailer. I made him get off on an overpass that he didn't want to get off on. Up the overpass, he was giving me the finger all the way up over top. I said, I hope you'll catch me on the other end some damn place. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I thought,
you ain't passing me, idiot. Stay in line with the rest of us.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we just had somebody email the show, and they never drove truck before in their life, but just by listening to the show, she learned how to kind of drive around trucks, and actually saved her an accident.
Yep.
And so it was really cool to read that, you know, just people listening to the show that have no idea what it's like driving a truck, hearing what we talk about, they're like, okay, so it's not a good idea to drive next to the back tires on a trailer consistently. Yeah. No, it's not.
That is the truth.
No. And you know what? We've seen somebody wanting to pass us. We would give them the okay with the lights, and we'd get over so they could pass us. And then we'd give them the lights so they knew they could get back over in their lane. I mean, you don't see that respect anywhere.
No, you don't. That is the truth.
That's a thing of the past.
Yes, it is. And it's sad. It's sad to see things like that end, because that was just a courtesy of the road, you know?
Yeah.
It was a much nicer time to drive. Now it's a mess. You know, it's just nobody cares, and nobody shows any respect for anybody. There's no courtesy.
Yeah, I couldn't do that anymore. They think you can stop on a dime, and there ain't no way when you got 80,000 pounds or 90,000 pounds on that trail, you ain't stopping.
No.
They don't get that.
No, nope, you're right.
Yeah, I talked to some of the guys who've been at my company for, 30 some years, and they always say to me the same thing, Tony, this job used to be so much fun. You know?
Yeah.
It's just between the way people drive around the trucks these days and then all the laws and regulations around your job.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know any different, you know, but these guys have been driving forever. They said back in the day, it was just so much more fun.
Yeah. When I'm in my car, my pickup, and I see a trucker coming and he wants to get past me, I'll give him the okay to get past me. I'll flash my lights for him to get back over. I still do that.
Yep.
And I've been out of the trucking business since in the 80s.
Wow.
But I still got respect for the drivers.
Yeah. It's a nice common courtesy, and you just don't see enough of that anymore. And it's indicative of the society that we're kind of living in now. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, it's a shame that that's how it is, but that is how it is.
I worry about my son every day because he runs that damn Schuylkill Expressway, and I know what that's like. Yeah. I've run that more than once back in the day.
Yep.
Used to run down to the old Philly market. We used to haul mushrooms down there and bring watercress back. And I know what the Spirley Expressway is. That's just terrible.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then if you're on the Roosevelt, it's not much better. So, the Schuylkill Expressway and the Roosevelt are very dangerous roads to be on. And I was just, before we called you guys, I was talking to my dad about my first driving job. I was with a guy in the cab, and I guess he was training me. And it was a snowy day. I think it's more sleet than anything. It was very icy roads. And this guy is just flying on the Schuylkill. Like, he doesn't know there's going to be traffic. And then all of a sudden we come up on dead stop traffic, and he slams on his brakes, and we're just sliding. And I thought for sure we'd have an accident. And we stopped we literally just stopped in time before we rear-ended people. And it's that kind of road, though. You never know where the traffic's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's never the same spot every day.
Yeah, and they got accidents on there where you wouldn't expect an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like straightaways.
Yeah.
I've seen accidents on there on straightaways. I'm like, really? What the hell is this for?
Yep, exactly. How'd you do that? I mean, this isn't even a curve. It's not an on-ramp. There's nobody getting on, nobody getting off, and in the middle of, you know, nothing. Yep. That's when they happen.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Makes no good sense.
No, but you know, it's and a lot of times it's just the dumb decisions that people make, you know, changing lanes or doing something stupid or not paying attention or texting on their phone nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. You see, I can't tell you how many times you look down and somebody's kind of swerving, getting closer to your cab, and you look down and there they are on their phone. You can see their fingers going, and you're like, what are you doing? Yeah. You toot your horn at them. That's what you do.
That's why they make those pickup trucks. Well, I shouldn't say. They make vehicles today with the driver assist. My pickup truck has that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, driver assist.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you start veering off on the lane, it sees it and it starts. You can feel it. Like your steering wheel starts pulling you back into the lane. Not real hard, but just real lightly. Mm-hmm. And they
let you know.
Yeah, they probably made that because there are so many people, you know, texting and they're not watching the road and they're veering off and having accidents.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's my PSA for the day.
Down here.
Don't text and drive.
Down here even. I see people driving up the road. Next thing they're all the way to the right. Next thing they're all the way to the left. I'm like, I know that idiot's on his cell phone. So I just get off of it and lay back. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's it. Let them get ahead of you. Just let them go. Go have your accident someplace without me.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. People are crazy.
There you go.
Yep. So you got out of truck driving back in the 80s, you said. I'm assuming they didn't have manual transmissions back then like they do now.
Manual or automatic?
I mean automatic, yeah.
I was talking to my son about that earlier. He said they can go get a license now for just automatic stuff.
Yes.
I said, you know, back in the 50s and back in the 60s when I was in the military over there in France, our deuce and a half and our 5-ton trucks were all automatic. And I'll tell you what, back in them days, if you think automatics are bad and slow now, you should have known them back in them days. I could have got out and walked faster than the damn truck.
Wow. I had no idea that they had automatics in bigger trucks like that back then. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. The military did. Yep. Wow. They were called deuce and a half, 2.5 tons or 5-ton trucks.
Right.
And they were all automatic.
Huh. I had no idea.
First time I got more than them, I was looking around and it's like, where the hell did you ship this thing?
You know, I do that now. I get in, like my tractor, the tractor I drive regularly is a standard. I have, clutch and gear shift and everything else. But every now and then, like my truck is down, I got to get into an automatic and I climb in and, you know, just out of instinct, you know, just out of, just what you do every day, you know, it's just, you go to press, you know, you go to stop and you go looking for the clutch, you're hitting the floor and you're like, freaking A, you go to reach over for the gear shift. It's not there. It's like, how do you drive this thing? This is like so boring. It's a boring existence.
It is boring.
It's like you used to have something to do. You're climbing uphill, you had a downshift, you upshift, downshift, doing this, you get in traffic, you're downshifting or whatever. Now it's just, you just get in it and it's like driving your car. It's just like driving a big car. I mean, even my car is a standard transmission. You know, it's like, what the heck? Yeah.
I'll say the best thing though for that is when you're in city traffic, it's nice. And also it's really nice that you can steer and hold a cup of coffee all at the same time.
It's so important easy. things.
And you don't forget what gear you're in.
No, unless the truck does that for you sometimes.
That's true. I've done that a couple of times. You know, you're like, did I upshift? Then you take it out of gear and put it back in. It's like, yeah, I was where I wanted to be. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I was already where I had to come to a complete stop and start over because I was already on the high side and had 18-speed Road Ranger. And I'm like, shit, I have no idea where I was. And you're trying to get the RPMs to make it work, and all you're doing is grinding crap. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. Hey, here's one for your dad. I don't know how old the trucks he ever drove, if he knows what an R-Model Mac is.
Yeah, I do.
And the duplex and the triplex transmissions.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I drove all them.
Oh my word. I haven't seen one of those in so long.
Yeah, I'm like 5 foot whatever, 5 foot five maybe. And a couple of guys where I worked at the mushroom companies where we had them, they were so big they could take their one hand and shift it the duplex with one hand and go from high to low and into gears. And the triplex, I'm there with all my hands trying to keep it steered on the road. It was funny.
Oh, my word.
But
yeah.
I didn't let them put me under. I was right there with them.
That's cool. That is really cool. Because those things are tough. Yeah. Those things are tough to drive. Yeah. If you had big mitts, you know, like those, Barry's saying, you could shift both. You know, it was two shifters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And well, it's like, they had the triplex too.
That is crazy. You talk about getting confused and forgetting where you're at.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that wasn't no trouble. I was a young kid back in them days. Yeah. I was like, hey, I just finally learned to drive a tractor trailer. You put me in this thing.
Yeah, here you go. It's going to throw you right into the wolves.
Yeah, I the first time I saw one of those was on YouTube. I saw a guy shifting them. I was like, what in the heck is that?
Yeah, kids don't have a clue.
When I was watching it, I had no idea if that's something that even existed. So I was like, dear God, I hope I never come across one of those.
And the old real trucks they had out, they were Rios and what the hell are the other trucks? They had all like big long nose conventional cabs.
Yeah.
Back in the auto car.
Yep, Western Star.
The hood was bigger than the rest of the tractor.
Yeah, it was crazy. They're huge. One of the first trucks I drove was a Western Star like that. It was huge.
Oh, wow.
For Walbert.
Yeah.
It's like a junkyard. You know, and he would haul, you know, scrap steel and stuff like that, scrap metal. He would, you know, get cars and everything else, crush everything up and then haul it. And that was the first job out of school that I had. And he had a dual. And I was like, this is crazy, dude. We didn't learn this at school.
for real.
Yeah, I was like, this is nuts.
you said about Pottstown. I used to also work a little once in a while for, it was called Malco Metals back in the days in Reading, Pennsylvania. And they were a scrapyard. And I would haul steel turnings, cast iron borings and steel turnings down into Pottstown. There was a big steel mill down there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was Bethlehem Steel, right?
Is that what it was? Bethlehem Steel?
I know Bethlehem Steel was in Pottstown, and when they shut down back in, I don't know, the 90s,
yeah,
those big plants shut down, and now they're used for different things. Mm-hmm. But I think those buildings were originally built for building airplanes back in World War II. And then I thought Bethlehem Steel took it over. Yeah.
But there was some scrap places, scrap metal places too.
Oh, really?
But yeah. It could have been one or the other. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure anymore. But
I was running car axles back then.
Yeah.
I used to go into Coatesville too. Coatesville had a steel mill down there. I used to haul.
Yeah. Middle Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Still there.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Yeah. It was part of my daily run for a long time.
Yeah. I used to get down in there every now and again.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was going in there, seeing like these big dump trucks coming out of the mill with this like molten hot metal. I mean, it looked like lava in the back of the trucks.
Wow.
Yeah. You could feel the heat off of it just from standing near the road, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I drove a lot of different things. I drove a lot of different products in quite a few years, over 30 years total.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing, especially in the time frame that you drove.
Yeah.
You know, the late 60s, you know, 60s, 70s and 80s. Man.
60s, 70s and 80s. Yep. That was a good old day. Dude.
Yes, it was.
So you got out in the right time.
Yeah. I couldn't handle them young kids coming on board anymore. I told Wyler, said, I can't handle it. I said, and they didn't have no respect for anybody, other truckers or cars.
Yep.
I told her, I said, somebody's going to get hurt really bad out here. I said, and I'm not going to be one of them.
Yes, exactly.
That's when I gave it up.
Yeah, you've been through the getting hurt really bad part. You know, you don't want to do it again.
Had enough of that.
No, yeah, I had my share of that shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And it's crazy when stuff happens. It happens when you're in a big truck and something goes down. It's not going to be fun for somebody.
Yeah,
you know, it's just bad news, and that's why you don't ever, you know, that's why you wish people would just pay attention when they're around big trucks. Just pay attention. Like you said, Barry, 80,000 pounds, 90,000 pounds rolling down the road at 65, 70 miles an hour. It's not going to stop on a dime. You can't just cut somebody off. You can't just expect you know, these drivers to swerve out of your way. You know, you're going to roll it. You know, it's like.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The worst accident I had was that one with them steel beams on, because there was no weight in that trailer.
Right.
You know, steel beams back in them days didn't weigh nothing.
Wow.
And you tell I was hauling Wagner steel beam headlights. What in the hell is that? Really? No, they put that little stupid bulb in, and that's your headlight.
And that's it. Yes, sir. That's all you got is a little headlight. Yep.
Wow. Believable.
Yes. My old one of the older cars that I had years ago was a steel beam headlight. And it's like it was. And at that time, I mean, this was just back in like the early 2000s. So that was, you know, that was a rarity just then, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Kids nowadays, they have no idea. No idea.
No.
They wouldn't know how to drive.
No, they wouldn't.
I had a 39 Hudson and a 46 Buick Roadmaster four-door.
Wow.
Straight 89. I had some really old ones, old Hudsons. We call them upside-down bathtubs.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Back in my day, I'll tell you, if I had them today, I'd be rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you would.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where you wish you would have known.
Remember the suicide doors pop?
I certainly do.
The back doors opened the wrong way.
Yes, sir. That was such a cool thing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all them good old days.
Yeah.
I like to tell my kid all these stories because he's like, really? I said, Ryan, one thing I don't do is lie. I don't got no reason to lie.
Yes.
I said, when I tell you a story, it's right up front.
There you go. Amen to that, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a badass out there, don't get me wrong, but I don't lie.
Right. That's a good policy. That is a good policy. Yep.
I'll fight in a heartbeat in my younger days, but I didn't lie.
That's all right. That's a good thing. That is a really good thing.
But I enjoyed most of my truck driving days. I really did. You know, if you look at the overall picture, we had some bad times. And coming through Carolina one time with my Freightliner, was it Kings Mountain? I come off of Kings Mountain and stopped up there for breakfast. Coming down off of there, they got into the straightaway. And hell, I didn't even know that Freightliner would do 100 miles an hour. It was doing 104 miles an hour. He caught me at. Luckily for me, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he just read me a hell of a riot act and said, if you get caught up the road, he says, you're going to jail.
Wow. I'll tell you what, that's doing some tooling downhill, man. 104 miles an hour. Good Lord. Yeah.
I was loaded. I was coming back to Reading.
Wow. That is, you know what, that's
amazing. Remember back in them days, we knew how to get around all the scales and stuff, too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Now everybody has to use GPS to get around.
Yeah.
Just takes you right to the scales.
If you couldn't read a roadmap back in the days that I drove truck, you were in a world of crap.
Yes.
I used to get a flashlight trying to read the roadmap.
Yes.
My roadmap. Jeez.
I hear that. I used to use a roadmap all the time. You know, yeah. I had a whole bunch of them in my briefcase that I kept in my truck. You know, when I was running North Jersey, and you need to know where you're going, dude. Because you get North Jersey, New York, and the New England states like you were talking about. You don't want to be playing around. You got to know where you're going.
And even with the roadmap, sometimes you didn't know where you were going.
That's true.
Yeah, for real. And sometimes if you're going to CB radio and ask, where's this road, where's that road? If you didn't know who you were talking to, you were not going another 5 miles out of your road because they'd just send you anywhere.
Yes. Oh, man.
Nice, helpful guy.
Jeez, really?
Oh, yeah. We had a few did that. And finally I said, well, you know what? If you could do that, so can I. And I send people on a wild goose chase. But
send them on a snipe line.
I didn't like doing that, but it was like, you know what? I had this played on me too many times, dude. It's your turn.
I'm passing it on.
Your turn, Val.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, Barry, it was really awesome talking with you. We had a great time.
Yeah.
It's really an honor for us to talk to someone like you who's been around for as long as you have and had the experiences that you've had. We had a great time. And we just pray all the best for you. And, we'd love to talk to you again sometime, have you on again, and just, listen to some more experiences.
Yeah, I got a lot of them. They go over your head because you're trying to think of different things and it just passes you by. But I appreciate it. You guys are great. Thank you very much for the conversation.
Well, Well, that's the show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the ride. Tony, if they did enjoy the show, what can they do?
Share the freaking show!
Share it.
Just share it. We don't care where, how you share it. If you like the show, please share it. If you don't like the show and you feel like being a nice person today, share the show. And if you want, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating review to fight back against the haters. But until then and stuff, we're just going to keep on begging you to share the show. Please, share the show.
Just share it.
We don't care where you share it.
We don't.
It could be on social media, which we hate, or it could be in person, which is great too. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It is great.
Human-to-human contact is something that they try to stop these days, but you can do it. Yes. You can do it.
I have faith in you.
Just Nike it. Just do it.
Well, all of that being said, Tony, one more thing. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Bye.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, well, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. ICC is a checking on down the line. Well, I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. Well, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from her stack and that smoke's a-blowing black as coal. My hometown's a-coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road.